Okay. Good evening, this is the Finance Committee meeting regarding the budget process review. It's October the 14th, 2024, 6 p.m. In attendance are council members who are on the committee, myself, Mark Fry, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Hanem, Mr. Richardson, also in attendance are Mr. McCann, Mr. Hanson, members for the administration, or Mayor Stow, Mr. Schreier, Mr. Shaw, and Ms. Brining. So, good evening, everyone. The mayor and I, so if I don't ask questions like I typically do, it's because the mayor and I already met with Toby and I asked all my questions.
You actually had two typewriters.
So,
he was ending up to where he's going.
I already covered most of my questions, although I may repeat some of those for the record. But feel free to ask questions along the way. Obviously, as you all know from past years, administrative staff gets together, works with Mr. Schreier in regards to preparing the budget. A lot of time and effort goes in. I don't know, Toby, how long? Weeks, certainly.
Yeah, for sure.
Trying to put all this material together. So it was sent out Thursday, if I recall,
to
council members. So all of you got a copy of the proposed budget for the purposes of this in Thursday, and obviously there's budget highlights that Mr. Schreier has given to all of you and put in front of you this evening. So with that, unless you have other questions or concerns, I'll turn it over to Mr. Schreier to kind of walk through.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Just for everyone knows, I put a fresh copy in front of your seat there, but there's been one change made even since I met with the mayor and Mr. Fry. It involved a vehicle, and the green yard waste vehicle that was requested by service director. It was $295,000. It was included in the budget that I sent you originally. Joe talked to me, today, this Friday, and he's going to pull that from the budget and look at a possible automated truck that's similar to like what the garbage trucks are now, where an arm comes out and just picks it up. I don't know if you want to discuss that at all. Or
sure. I didn't want to go forward with the purchase without fully exhausting the operation in itself. Eric and I have been looking at Perrysburg's model a little bit with what they do. They use a toter and a bundled system as well, but they use that in their operation, and their truck has the capability, just like our refuse and recycling trucks, to grab the unit and empty it into a front-loaded container, and then you take the container up and dump it. That's different than what we have now. We have a driver and someone who's on the back of the truck, and it's a two-person operation. So if we went to a different collection system for green yard waste, that may reduce the amount of personnel or staff that's needed to operate that. That would move potentially another body into other things that we need to be doing in the city with all the beautification efforts and whatever we're doing. I'm not far enough along to make a recommendation one way or other on it, but I don't think it's appropriate to keep the vehicle in there while we're still doing our due diligence on the process.
So you don't need that until next year?
So what I would do would be to do my full research with it. I probably would come back with a recommendation once I do fully understand the operation. And I wouldn't ask for it in 25. We would run the vehicle through 25 and, you know, make the decision for the 26 budget at this time next year.
Just to be clear, this is in the parks, capital funds, the equipment, green yard waste.
$295,000.
Yes. Okay.
I've taken that out of there in the new report that I've given you.
So in that regard, Joe, is it safe to assume that this new truck is likely to be more expensive, but create long-term potential savings associated with personnel?
This one's about $295,000. If you go the other direction, it's closer to $500,000. So it's a bigger investment to do, and that's why we want to do our due diligence with it. I didn't feel comfortable moving forward with it.
So it's like we need to buy toters also.
Well, how Perrysburg does it, just briefly, I don't want to get too detailed into it, but they do it so that the residents pick up toters from Home Depot, Lowe's. They're already readily available, but it drastically reduces bags. We don't have to have our customers pay for bags anymore. It goes to a sticker type of a thing. So initially what it looks like is that the residents' endpoint, it looks like a cheaper operation, It also is a little bit more beneficial for us too. So on its surface, it seems like it may have legs, but again, I want to move forward until we've really done our due diligence.
We need to be able to differentiate also between picking up sticks and branches and other greenways as opposed to grass clippings.
That's right. That's right. So it was in there. It all kind of came about. We started looking at it and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to buy this truck if it's not going to be the one that fits the operation. So let's just wait a year. We can band-aid our vehicle. So you guys know it's 16 years old. We got it through a grant program with Lucas County Solid Waste. They offered us, I think, maybe a quarter of the price of the vehicle when we got it. That program is no longer in existence, so we don't really have that as an option to help us with the purchase, but nonetheless, I want to do more research.
So we sell stickers for green yard waste now, right? Mm-hmm. How much of our green yard waste is in bags that we sell? The majority?
Yes. Okay. Our bags are about 40,000 a year divided.
Okay.
From the current vendor that we have.
And the stickers can go on basically any container. It's got to be small.
You know, it switches to that type of operation. You put the sticker on the toter itself, and then the toter gets collected, goes down, grab the sticker.
And you're going to have the homeowner buy the toter?
Right.
And a sticker.
But, like I said, I don't want to get too far. We haven't even done all this due diligence and research.
Not everybody would buy one, Doug.
Right. I understand that. So not everybody buys a bag, but...
Not everybody buys bags either, but...
The bag... You do time from time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The good news is Perrysburg runs that operation that way, so we have a really good partner to learn from on pros and cons. Like I said, I just didn't want to move forward until we've done that.
Okay, so bottom line for this budget is the deficit that you were showing was 2.6 million, it's now 2.3 million. If you look at page one, the highlights, we'll look at the revenue section on the top. I'm projecting the income tax collections to increase by 3% over what we expect to receive in 2024. Not what we budgeted in 24, but what we expect to receive. Our current income tax collections in 2024 through September are down 1.9%. I went back and I think I gave you in the new handout, the last page is about the last dozen years of income tax collections. Over the last 5 years, even with including this current year of negative 1.9%, we've averaged 3% increase over the last 5 years. And that's the dollar amount I used. I think it's conservative. But that's how I came up with that 3%.
And you are using this year's actual or projected receipts, not the budgeted receipts.
Sure.
So it's not 3% over what was budgeted last year. It's 3% over the 1 or 1.5% decrease receipts this year.
As a whole, in the general fund, our number two there, our income, our revenue is going to be down 1.3% over the 2024 budget. Part of that is, the main part of that is the income taxes, our collections, our property taxes are going down $100,000. That's the SOMO credit, the grant, or SOMO CRA that they get. That's what we lost on that. It was $100,000 out of the general fund. But other than that, the revenue is pretty similar to what it was this current year. Court revenues similar to what it was this current year. They've been pretty consistent over the last couple of years on their revenue. We'll talk about that later. I have some numbers for the court, but capital improvement fund. Remember how income tax, when we received all our income taxes we received 25% goes directly into the general fund, 8% goes into the capital improvement fund, and then 67% goes into an income tax fund. All that money that sits in the income tax fund, we deduct refunds that we pay out to, you know, obviously income taxpayers, and the cost of the income tax department. Once that, once we get that number, we transfer that number. Some of it gets transferred to our bond debt fund to pay for our bonds. And the rest of it gets transferred to the general fund. What we do then is we take that money that was transferred into the general fund, and we look at all the revenue in the general fund and all the expenditures, and there's a dollar amount left over. In this current year, it's $4.1 million, and we transfer that back into the capital fund to pay for projects. I know it's confusing. This is how the auditors are basically requiring us to do it if we want any kind of flexibility. We could do percentages directly into these funds, but then we lose flexibility in the general fund. The auditors will not allow us to transfer out of the capital fund, so we transfer it into the general fund and into the capital fund from there. Bottom line is, in this current year, is $4.1 million going into the capital fund from the general fund, which is, again, the excess revenue over expenditures. In 2025, it's $2.8 million. And the difference is the big projects coming out of, the difference is the income tax was being lower than what this current year was projected.
So once it's transferred into the capital fund, you can't transfer it back out?
Correct. And then we use that to
That's the first time we ever saw the mayor lose his temper.
with the state auditors.
With good reason, I might
add. The state auditors had accused me of an unlawful act, right, that we had been doing for 40 years.
Right.
All of a sudden, when our current attorney general and auditor of the state people showed up, he wanted to show how powerful he was and change the rules.
Yeah.
So, and Doug went to bat for us on that one down in Columbus. We couldn't make any headway on that at all. Toby found a way for us to transfer funds to get out from under it. But I'm told that, unfortunately, I didn't break the glass on the conference room table or the mayor's office table, and people all around the building heard me. And I guess the people turned white that came from the state auditor and were ready to leave, because they accused me of an unlawful act. They didn't understand what those words meant.
Does anybody have any questions on the revenue?
So Toby, let's assume for a moment that the general fund revenues come in a little stronger than we expect in 2025, assuming we move forward. And let's just say that there's $3.2 million available. Would you expect that we would want to transfer all $3.2 to the capital? Whatever is available, we're going to transfer, over?
The auditors have basically said that they want our general fund to be about $6 million. So anything, if we get an additional, if revenue of income tax comes in $1 million more than what this budget is asking for, it's going to be in the general fund, and our balance is going to be $7 million, and then I would transfer it into the capital fund to help pay for those projects.
Because we obviously have a lot of big projects, as we all well know, coming
through the next couple years. And if that would happen, then our deficit would, our $2.3 million deficit would be $1.3.
Sure.
So, right.
Do we have any sense of why our income revenue is down?
It is for sure withholdings. It's not the corporate tax. It's not the corporate businesses paying their income tax. It is with the withholdings, so it's employees. We're looking into the chart. There's nothing that's standing out. I mean, we lost some revenue over at the hospital. I think the mayor, we're going to get a little bit of that back. But
we will. The new facility along Harum Road closed a couple of years ago, so we've lost that income. But the hospital is going to reopen that building as a rehab center, pull that out of the main hospital, and then in that space, it's in the hospital, we're going to move the sleep lab to that space, which will open up a half a floor or more beds on the first, fifth floor, which will allow them, which they say they can use, which will increase revenues. So that's a good scenario.
Yeah, we've looked at the top taxpayers, and nothing is standing out. Mm-hmm. So it's just a combination of, you know, not $9 million, how much, you know, doesn't take a lot to make a little bit of a difference. But UBS has lost a lot of employees, but they've then gone over to another company in Sylvania, a lot of them. So nothing is standing out other than that job we lost at the hospital.
There's also the root issue, which is still developing.
What is going on with group?
We think they're mostly going to be moving out. There's not anybody who works there anymore, but they issue checks there, so we get our income tax. Their lease is up next year, I believe. They were a big taxpayer for us in the past, but that number's been going down.
Yeah. And if you think about it, the building where NOIC was, those buildings are empty right now. By the cemetery, the back of the cemetery. Those buildings are empty. So that was income tax that we were obviously losing. But any other questions on the revenue side?
Do you want to talk about water?
Yeah,
you want to talk about water?
Certainly, but I'm very questions on.
Well, I noticed.
Are you on the revenue side now? Or
well, you tell me what the problem is. we're running. Where is this? Okay, so we're almost $2 million. It's almost a $2 million deficit.
Yes, I can tell you exactly what that is. That's two projects. $700,000 that we're paying as part of the US 23 project.
Okay.
And then $900,000 is
Silvertown.
Phil might be able to speak more about what that project entails. Typically in the water fund, if we take a projects aside, we break even in the water fund. You know, for a while there, obviously we were saving up in case we had our own water system, and the balance was getting extremely high. So we made a decision to stop it, or to level the rates off, and then as projects happen, that's what will drive that balance back down to where it should be. So that's what we've been doing.
Okay, so
it's not operations, it's driving the balance.
What's down. Not in here is what the balance in the water fund is.
It's almost $4 million.
Okay, so. Yeah,
okay. I can't remember. Is that reflected in here?
I don't think it is. No, it definitely is not. But that, the water fund is like 3.7 and the sewer fund is like 1.2 at the end of September. So then we, you know, when it shows that deficit in the water fund, it's just drawn down on that 3.7 now.
So this $1.6 million, would these normally be capital projects?
No.
No, they'd always come
out of water, yeah.
Because of the...
But typically, if we didn't have such a robust balance,
we would have to increase the rates.
We would be able to increase the
rates. Right, okay. Silvertown.
Sure, Silvertown between Monroe and Alexis at full length, installed in 56, maybe early 60s, something like that, cast iron. The sand over there seems to be, for whatever reason, getting at this main a little quicker in this 7 years old. But we've had quite a few breaks on there. We actually had Silvertown in the resurfacing project scheduled for last year that was going to be done with the kind of bundle of streets that was over there. We pulled it after talking with our water department, and we did a review of the number of breaks that have happened on the main and where it's located and everything that's in the road. We didn't think it was prudent to spend money resurfacing, so we pulled the resurfacing piece out. Looked at the water line a little bit closer, and it needs to be replaced. So now it's a resurfacing waterline project, replacement project. And it goes that whole length. It's fairly long. It's almost like what we did on Balfour this year, almost like what we did on Cushman the year before. So very similar type of project.
What type of balance are you thinking is ideal for the water fund?
On the water side, you know, if we get somewhere around 2.5, okay, you know, then let's take a look and see where we're at. But that's probably where I'd want to stick. On the sewer side, maybe about 1.5 to 2, something like that.
So we're comfortable with the rates. This is just
addressing.
Yeah.
Sewer rate, I'm not so comfortable with. I wanna look at possibly that. I need to study that a little bit further. Okay. We're a little late there.
The water rate will come comfortable. And we're just spending down a budget for an expense we didn't have to incur.
And again, we're not spending it down with operations. Only capital projects.
The capital reserve
coming down. We have our rates healthy enough for the operations, just not any additional projects on top of that.
Okay.
So after 2025, if we have another significant project, that you'd be looking at water rates, because we're going to be at the end of next year, going to be on about the balance you want to be at.
Got it.
We've done some amazing water improvements with the reserves and stepping this down. We've got some projects that probably we wouldn't get to, which has been great. Picking off 4-inch water mains that we shouldn't have in our system, and increasing the sizes, so it's been good.
I have had some questions about what lead lines remain in the city and what kind of a problem that might be for us.
Yeah, what we just find are usually the fittings from the curb box up. From the tap, you'll have some goosenecks. They'll be generally in the fittings. Sometimes lead lines, but mainly just in your fittings that get up to it. We've identified around 30 or so that are remaining in the city that we're trying to accomplish. Actually, the capital improvement budget reflects that, or I should say the water account reflects that. There's about 60 grand that we had allocated.
It was in the media recently that Maumee has a bunch. That's why I got the questions from my residents.
In the inner old town area, as you can imagine, but we have money that we're going to set aside to try to tackle.
30 is a controllable number, especially if it's not the whole line.
Right.
When you say 30, is that counting households per what?
30.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, just one per.
Yep. Yeah, we ran into the Monroe and Silicus project. You guys had that in front of you at council with a main that actually had fittings in it. That's pretty rare, but it can happen too. But this is just on the service side. You want to replace the services from the main up to the curb box and get rid of the lead fittings in.
So you think the 60 will take care of those fittings?
Yep.
And then, because many of you may have also heard, saw press reports to the mayor's point that there's a final rule that's pending at the federal level that says all lead lines for water lines need to be fixed within 10 years or something like that. So it'd be helpful if, you know, obviously it sounds to me like we're way ahead of schedule in regards to that. It'd be finished with it at the end of 25.
To preface this, this takes care of our right of way. This is our stuff, right? So there still can be lead in the system beyond our service, what we provide. So from the curb box to the house, there can still be lead fittings in those. When we come across those, we usually send a letter to the homeowner and say, by the way, we're replacing your services here with lead fittings in it. It's possible you may have some on your side that you may want to investigate and take a look at. And that would be on the homeowner to decide whether or not they want to do it. But we take care of what's from curb box in.
When we make the payment to the state for the US 23 project in January, even though we're taking money and funds out of different funds, it's still going to be one check. So $5.5 million is going to come out of the capital improvement fund. $700,000 is going to come out of the water fund, and a smaller $20,000 is coming out of the sewer fund. But it's one $6.2 million check that we're going to write in January. And we have funds. We have funds for $1 million. Did you get $1 million of that back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to pay it upfront, I think, a million back. So on the getting it back portion of it, OPWC is what we applied for, $500,000. I did the score, I'm on the scoring and ranking in November, but I got a little project since, so I quickly looked at it to see where we fell. Looks like we're good, we should be able to get that. And then as OPWC works, as you turn the calendar into July, their own fiscal year, so July 1st, once your project agreement is signed, any work that occurs from July 1st on, you can get reimbursed through that, through construction, you know. So when we get our pay request in for, let's say, August and September, we can start to do draws on the OPWC money to start to fund that back. And that'll run through probably 26 to get all full notice.
So it's fair to say if the bids come in where we're hoping them to come in, that project's going to cost us net 5.2 million.
So just to follow up with Joe, I already asked this question to you earlier, but I'm going to ask it on the record. So, as I understand it, if there are bids that come back higher or there's cost overruns, the city's on the hook for 100% of that, correct?
So let's walk through how this is going to work. So it's already been estimated once by the design team. That package is now at central office. Central office has a second estimating team, their office of estimating in the Department of Transportation. They're going to take an independent look at the project and say, how much do they think it's going to cost?
So what's the first look on that?
The first look was by the design engineer. So they
put and what's the number they came up with?
25.
25 million?
5 million. So an office of estimating will do the same. That number could go up, it could go down. But once the office of estimating establishes a price, that's the fee that they're going to request from us. So once we get to that step here in November and they've kind of gone through that estimating process, we'll have a really good feel between two people who have looked at it how much it's going to cost. The project goes into January, we're due our bill that they've asked for us for. So we pay that, they sell the project, and let's say that it comes in under budget, they hold on to our money until the end of the project is done, cost overruns, whatever comes up. The project comes in again over estimate before the project is awarded. Additional funds could be encumbered by the local to do that. So we'll have a good feel November. Once we get into bids, we'll obviously have to reassess where that is. Hopefully we get a good number after two people look. But in the worst case scenario, it is possible that you come back and you may have to owe an additional appropriation just to sell it and get it awarded.
Do you have any feel for the or the track record of this ODOT estimating? Do you hear about disasters around the state?
What they're not good at is local, small projects. I feel like their estimating tool that they get to the consultants isn't always the greatest. I feel like their heavy highway, which is their bread and butter, the big projects around the state, I feel like they're pretty good at it. So if we come in November and it looks like these numbers are really close to each other, I feel pretty good. If there's something that's way off, then, you know, I'm not sure what I'm about to see. And then once the project is awarded, they go, we just sit. And then the project goes, go through 25, gets into 26, project is done towards the end of 26. They'll finish up paperwork and whatever the project came in at with change orders, high or low, there may be a check coming back to us, or there may be a little bit more of this owed, but that would be programmed and set up. 26 budget or 27 budget, however the paperwork works out.
Does the budget contain a contingency?
Yeah.
There is a
contingency? Their cost estimate has a contingency.
Great.
So if they don't use a contingency, the money comes back. I know that was obvious, but I need to
It's where the state's involved.
Absolutely. I appreciate the explanation, and but I think it's helpful for me to hear, and I imagine other members of council, and it's important to understand that this is, you know, this is a significant undertaking, a once in a lifetime kind of an investment in our community. So,
if you guys want to look at page 3, we can talk about the general fund expenditures a little bit. The main thing I want to make note of is an increase of 2.6% in the 2025 budget versus the 24 budget in the general fund. So that's our main operation fund, 2.6% increase over this current year. If you look at the percentages over to the right, street cleaning, you see 8.2% increase. That's really just to get to where we've been spending. That's a hard one to budget because almost all that personnel is for leaf pickup. So I don't know what it's going to be when we do the budget, so I'm estimating it. But I put some more money in there because over the last couple of years we've been spending more than what the budget was. So
just to follow up with that, Toby, those individuals aren't contract laborers. They're people that are in another budget line item that when they're coming to pick the leaves up, just flop it over in the leaf collection. So when this goes up, something else goes down. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it's a push economically for the city. But the line item on the budget...
Unless it's on overtime.
Okay, fair enough. Unless it's OT. Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Sometimes I think the leaf pickup does run an overtime.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you don't pick up the leaves, I think all members of council know what happens.
Pick up the leaves.
Yeah. We get yelled at.
The municipal court...
You plow the snow.
Yes.
The municipal court, the 4.7%, that is... we've had this discussion, I believe council's been involved in these discussions, but they've asked to have two city police officers be security for their two courtrooms. We've agreed to do that, so it's a matter of hiring two extra police officers, but it's coming out of their budget, it's not coming out of the police budget, so that's why you see a 4.7% increase. The rest of the budget, there was nothing significant. It was just two police officers that they didn't have before.
So those are two standard patrol officers, is that correct? And when the court's not in session, what are we going to do with those individuals?
The police chief has plans for that. There will be, maybe one day out of the week that the court doesn't need them, and the police chief has plans for that already. You'd have to ask her exactly what that means, but she's been involved in all the discussions.
So tell me that's something that's for the 25 budget.
Correct.
It has not happened in the past.
They've been using contracted sheriff officers, or they had their own employees for a little while, but it wasn't a lasting thing. There was going to have a turnover and stuff, but
so
they're going to limit the number of contracted, obviously, but the cost is still going up because they're going to be paying.
They've got a huge contract budget, line item in there.
They do a lot of their personnel is through Phoenix Services. They keep people a lot longer than I would prefer at Phoenix before they make them employees, but I don't know if it's a trial period for them or how they operate.
The budget does not allow for any increase to any of the other staff members, meaning the clerks. Now, there was a big discussion about how they were so underpaid during our recent conversations.
There is a dollar amount built in for that.
Some kind of increase for the other staff. And what about the magistrate? Is there an increase for the
same
magistrate?
Same thing, yes.
That's
the
standard increase.
Standard at that.
It's not. It's
and nothing extra.
Okay.
So in regards to that, one of the comments that the magistrate / administrator indicated to us at the community meeting is that those temp workers actually saved the city money. What's your experience and thought process on that, Toby? Because I don't recall if you were there, but I didn't corner you on that during that meeting. I figured it was better to ask in this kind of a setting.
Okay, if we're talking, there's two different things. If we're talking the court security, going through the temp agency, we even hire the sheriff deputies through the temp agency. And that was my recommendation because they did want to be hired as employees. They want to be hired as independent contractors.
The sheriff.
Yeah, and OPERS is not okay with that. They either have to be an employee or you're going to have to go through a temp agency. So that was my recommendation. So the courts found my recommendation on that. As far as employees, like their clerks and that, it's like leasing a car versus buying a car. It's short it's a short-term gain, long-term loss, in my opinion. I think they're using it as more of a trial period. Now, they have recently, within the last few months, they've hired probably 10 people from the temp agency. So I think they're going towards that route of hiring people. So we'll see how that works out.
They do have a track record of having problems retaining employees.
Yeah.
So would these police officers be permanent?
The same two officers will be in the courtroom. It's not a rotation.
That's my question.
And that's the chief's preference. It's not necessarily going to be a new officer. It might be a current officer. They will bid it out. So a current officer could get it. But it's the same two officers that will be in the courtroom each day.
So are we, I've heard comments over the last couple of years, it's getting more and more challenging to find officers for us. Joe, are you okay? Is the chief okay with these two individuals being there and still being able to staff everything else that we need to be able to do?
Yeah, she sounded like it would be a good operation for her to work with too. And, I don't know if it was quite, 20 hours a week in the court, 20 hours,
We might get like one day.
That's what we're thinking. 30 hours or 10 hours, but she seemed to think that would be just fine. So
we're not
going to give her additional capacity.
Yeah, we're not cutting our patrol at all as an addition.
And where are we at with manpower right now on the force?
32, is that correct?
I mean, there's a, including opening, there's one person, there's one officer that's going through the training, so she's not on the road yet. And then there's one that we have to replace, I believe, they've done SAS.
So what's the staffing level?
They're down. 32 is the total staff we have. I think they're authorized for 34.
So we're 32.
Yeah.
And we're growing to 36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember, but I believe you already changed it through council, right?
No.
We didn't change it.
Okay. Yep.
That'll come to council to change that.
And the chief is comfortable with that?
Yep.
The chief is working on lateral moves, legislation that you approved to try and entice other officers from other places to come here. The problem is our salary is a little low right now, and until that gets fixed in negotiations, people aren't coming.
But we fixed the vacation thing, right?
That's correct, but yeah. The salary, because we're at the end of a three-year contract, others have gone up and we're 10 or 12% behind.
Okay.
And I assume next year's budget takes into account some of that.
It does.
The chief is not overly concerned about finding more officers. She is addressing it in different programs and seems to think we're going to be all right. The officer resigning to go to Florida came as a surprise to her.
Yeah, so it's not like we're short staffed. We've hired the one that's just going through training and one just immediately just left recently. So we're just replacing that one. So
pretty quick and unexpected. I saw her in the parking lot and I said, "You sure you want to go to Florida?" Because it was right after the hurricane. She says she's going to the panhandle, it'll be just fine. And she has a fiance there. So that's why she's going.
So, but overall, Toby, not counting the transfers, the budgeted expense for 25 that the administration is proposing is 2.6% higher than 2024. Yeah,
that's usually the number that most people want to know.
How right.
Did your operation budget go up?
Right.
And that's with some sort of raise built into that. I don't want to really discuss the raises yet because we're still in negotiation. We're just starting essentially, but there is a dollar amount built into that that I believe is a pretty big gain where we're going to end up.
So in general, because we're going to be transferring, your estimate currently is $2.8 million if this is approved as submitted. Our general fund budget is an excess, but we're transferring the extra money over to the capital projects.
Right. Correct. The 2.89.
Okay.
So who met the municipal court? So we have so I'm reading this right where
I can tell you what their deficits In the 2025 budget.
Yeah.
Their deficit is $1,055,000.
That's what I thought.
And in 2023, it was right at $1 million. And this current year is going to be right about $1 million once we get to the end of the year.
Okay, so if the municipal court doubled its costs, we could come pretty close to breaking even.
The revenue on the
And or if they increase their court costs by
over the next three years. So just the court cost is $900,000 that we're budgeting.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And we had any discussions with, I know the judge is probably pretty touchy with these days, but.
I haven't had any discussions with them on the revenue side.
Well, I think we need to have some discussions with them on the revenue side. I mean, last time, I mean, I took a couple runs with Jim Mohn at Scott and ran into a brick wall to the point where I told Jim to never let me talk him into scheduling another meeting with Scott because I was so angry after the last time we met with him. What I don't know is how his costs compare to others. You know, the $130,000, the $130 general court cost number. I mean, I don't know, that sounds low to me. Particularly when the alternative is me and my neighbors paying for court services for residents of the two townships. And that's what's happening.
Judge Bonfiglio raised them when he first took office 6 years ago or so, 7 years ago. But I don't know that they've been raised since. I think now is the time to do it. Plus, he was reelected last year. That makes it another good time to do it. So I think it is a good conversation to have now.
Yeah. And I think during that Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting, I think it was you, Doug, that brought up that fact. And I think he was seemed open to me about evaluating that. So that may be underway or maybe not. Obviously, you have not spoken to the judge.
I haven't talked to him since.
There have been so many issues. He just avoids me whenever he sees me in the room.
Yeah. Well, here we are. Been a thorn in my side for a long time. I don't know.
We've been working on this.
Yeah.
I've been working on it for 29 years.
I've only been on it for 21.
Never ends.
Actually, the first thing I didn't know what I was doing. So I didn't
we thought we had it solved a couple of times with Barbara Sears, and then it got reversed on us. Mm-hmm. One by Betty Montgomery. That one really surprised me. Yeah. You know, we were going to have the township, charter townships had to pay their fair share, mm-hmm. and Betty Montgomery did a 180 on it and said, "No, that's not what it means. That's not what it says in the legislation." Well, it clearly did say that's what they're supposed to do. But the township's got to.
Well, anyway. Okay, so you addressed all my issues. Not well.
Best we could. Your permission to go after the judge.
Yeah, it's a couple of things. Part of it is Heritage Sylvania, and part of it is our. We had two companies that were getting job creation grants, and one that's expired now, so it's just one. So what that is we give a third of the income tax back to them for them to come to our city. They're not from our city, and if they come to our city, we usually sign a five, and it's got to be a specific type of company and everything. So it can't be like retail or something like that. It's more of a service company, like insurance or. And we usually sign a 4 or 5 year deal and they get a third of the income tax back. We don't do that many of them now, so it's not something that seems to lose a lot of money on. We had two of them last this current year, and now we're going to have one. So.
Okay.
What is the, under that, the community program section? That's a section for special projects.
There's nothing specific that's coming out of there. Stuff that comes up like,
Yeah, can I notice we budgeted 118 when we spent 82, so it's like that.
Like, for instance, I'll give it for Michelle Johnson, the 50,000 to study the downtown, or up to 50,000, that would come out of that. And it's a lot of, and most of it is stuff that we don't know we're gonna do on the budget, but I would put a dollar amount in there that allows it to happen if we do, you know, have something like that. But it's similar, that's really what that is, Michelle Johnson, stuff like that, or appraisals on property we might be interested in buying, that kind of stuff.
Where is that? I have a number.
Seven three two zero.
Yeah, so the special project
yeah.
is 51294.
I caught Bill Sanford's line on it. He's going to spearhead a lot of those payments.
Anthony had to refer to it as the mayor's secret.
So the 52 we spent this year, that's what we already talked about. Like what was that spent on in this calendar year?
I'd have to pull out the detail on that. I'm not exactly sure. I will check on that.
I just want to know in case somebody asks me.
I will let you know.
By the way, I didn't see a court total. Is that just an accounting thing?
What are we looking at? What are you looking at?
On the municipal court, you have three separate. You have a fringe benefit, total, and some contractual services, personal services. But there's no total municipal court.
You want to know what their budget is?
Well, I know what it is. I can do. I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's just simple.
2.2 in.
Yeah. Is that what happened?
Yeah, 2.2.
They're
not numbers, so it's hard to figure out.
2.2 out, $1 million.
Yeah,
$2,250,000. Yeah. On page 3 of the other papers.
That's the cost.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And it's $1 million.
Yeah.
And $1.2 million, give or take.
Okay.
Yeah. I got it. I figured out. I will get back with you, Patrick. It could be multiple things. I just can't call and throw in the store.
All good.
We've talked about in the past, obviously, the community program. There's no change if you look on page 5. There's no change from previous years for the community funding request. Now, Heritage Sylvania, their request has actually gone down, but in 2024, they asked for extra for roof repair. So we're just going back to where it's downward. Was before that, so I think I sent you guys. I think I sent everybody a copy of all the community programs request. There wasn't anything unusual. Like I said, everybody just get the same amount. They requested the same amount they received last year.
Just to, so you all know, I talked with Lindsay about talking to Heritage Sylvania about sponsoring an Ohio homecoming and picnic event in July. This is something this is a governor initiative in association with the
220.
I don't know, whatever celebration they're doing. They want to do picnics all over the state in the month of July with...
I think Samantha is the perfect person, and we'll take that on.
And I brought to Lindsay's attention and suggested what she thought about bringing that to the attention of Heritage Sylvania. If they do that, there'll be some costs associated with that. I would expect that you could probably sponsor and fundraise for a lot of that, but we may be doing a special project or a supplemental for that as well. But I think it'd be a good event, and consistent with
sounds like a good event to me
across the state. So anyway,
under number 4 in our expenditures, our debt service, our bond payments. typically, we have been paying $1.7 million a year. Our bond payments have gone down to $1.4 million a year for the next 4 years. In 2029, they will go down an additional $500,000 for each year, 29, 30, and 31. And then they will be paid off. So our bond payments will be $900,000 starting in 2025.
2029.
29, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then number five, the capital improvement projects, almost $12.4 million. If you look at page four, obviously we got almost $2 million for the downtown project. We got $5.5 million coming out of, you know, out of the capital fund, but a total of $6.2 million for the US 23 project. Two police cruisers. We're using a special revenue fund for that. We received a significant settlement a few years back from a Bitcoin operation that we seized on. And so we're going to start using that money to pay for the vehicles in the police department.
Good.
We have a couple of items coming out of the 223, which is a permissive tax fund. We've built up a pretty significant balance in that because over the last couple of years, what we take out of there typically is salt for the roads, and we've had pretty mild winters. So we've had some money built up in that, and Joe has assured me that there's no possible way we're going to buy salt in 2025, because everything's full right now.
We'll be good.
So we're going to,
if it was anywhere, we'd be putting it on the ground and throwing a tarp over it, right?
We have a lot.
Kevin always talks up.
Yeah. So we're going to purchase a salt dome loader. It's about halfway down there on the streets. It's $175,000. That's coming out of 223 fund. And then the main Monroe Summit signal improvements, the $470,000, that's also coming out of 223 fund. And we've done that over the last couple of years. We've taken the project out of that fund. It alleviates that pressure on the capital fund.
There's a $900,000 balance in there right now.
Yes.
That particular project was half of a whole project we submitted for OPWC this year, that piece of it. So 93,000 of that would come back to us and OPWC funds too.
And that is going right back in the 223.
Go right back in the
set up on the revenue side and the 223 fund. You guys have any questions on the capital projects? We talked about the water. Obviously, when you see where it says wastewater, all that's coming out of 702 fund, and the water is coming out of 701 fund. We talked about Silvertown and the U.S. Monroe Street Interchange Improvement for the water. Just so everyone's aware, our ARPA funds, we got about $1.5 million still to spend. That's going to be this current year. We're going to cover it in 2024 for the phase one of the downtown project.
The legal ad for Vince was in the paper today.
So?
And then the ARPA funds will be gone.
Understand. So they have to be encumbered before the end of this calendar year, correct, or they go back, correct?
Correct.
So if something completely wild and crazy unexpectedly occurs, what's plan B?
We're fine. Yeah, we've built into the schedule with an advertising now that if there is a problem, we're okay to still make adjustments and award still this year. We'll be coming back in November probably with this bid award, but I'll know by first week of November if I have an issue, which I don't anticipate it will.
Okay.
Because I got you.
It is a concern.
Toby, I will add one thing that came up today just to share with you guys. Haroon and Levine is in the streets category.
Mm-hmm.
That's construction, engineering, and inspection at 277 budget in the next year for that. Our budget in 24 for that whole project was 1.6 million. The bid came in at 1.4. So I have a net 200,000 left that we get allocated towards that specific project. I've done some early cost proposal with a selected consultant, and that'll be about 107,000. So what we could do, and I just offer this, is you could take that line item additionally out of this budget coming up, and then we award on 24 funds with the reserve that we had already budgeted for that project anyway. So 1.6 was budgeted, 1.4 was sold, 200 is left. I can pay for construction engineering inspection on 24 monies because I have a balance left. That would be up to you guys to decide, but it's available to us if we go that way.
Why wouldn't we do that?
We can. That's absolutely what we're
doing. I want to take some time to look at the capital fund in 24 because we've done additional stuff throughout the year that we don't automatically encumber funds until we see where we're at the end of the year. So let me take a look at that to make sure that we're going to be able to fit everything in. But if that's the case, it would, you know, lower our deficit by. So are you saying you could take the whole 277 or 200?
You can take 277 out because I've got the reserve balance for that. This specific project is still there. But
if you go, as long as everyone's okay with it, by. So once I confirm that the 401 can, I know that line item could, I didn't take that line item and take it out and make sure everything else has come in where it should be, then it would just lower our deficit, get our deficit down to almost 2 million.
That just came in today. That's the reason I shared it with you. So.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that it's a problem, but it helps. Mm-hmm. You know, people always ask me.
Back to the
budget balance. Yeah.
Well, and I've had questions. How the heck are you guys doing all this work?
Right.
I mean, that's not exactly. Yeah, I agree, Mayor. But that's the response I give them too. Hey, we're getting an awful lot of money from working through.
The good news is we can
bring in millions and millions in.
The good news is we can afford our portion of it because we have built up the capital improvement funds over the year. And the deficit spending in the capital fund this year is because we've saved up for these projects.
Right.
Operations are more than balanced. We're okay. Back to the downtown improvements. The big bids are due on November the 5th at 1:30 p.m. Right there in the paper. One of America's great newspapers. It wasn't on paper.
Mr. Fry, to your point, on the streets project, Silica, Summit, Erie Street resurfacing, I saw us doing work with the county where we submit joint applications in the OPWC program. I would never have been able to get funding for Silica, Summit, and Erie on my own. But by partnering with them, we have $100,000 in grant coming back to us on that particular project. We submitted another one this year for Convent and Little. Normally, I would never be able to get those roads resurfaced using OPWC money. I scored those already. Right inside the cusp to get that money. I've got another, you know, hundred some thousand. So all those little things that we do, those little partnerships with the county, all add up.
That's great.
I mean, that's really how we're able to do it.
Yeah, that's
stuff. And that's also good government stuff.
Yeah.
The rules of the road are the rules of the road. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's not going to the wall. You know.
It is hard for a lot of the subdivisions in Northwest Ohio to keep up on that. We're fortunate that Kevin and now Joe really do to stay on top of it.
Yep.
And Joe is the chair of the Transportation Committee or Council, or whatever it's called. Okay, at TMACOC. You know, I was in that for a while, and it really helps when we've got a person at the table.
Are there any other questions from anybody regarding anything?
How do we, I said we're going to do it, how do we initiate these discussions with the
I think we can just,
okay, he's speeding down.
Yeah,
right.
We can send a follow-up because Mr. Fry is right. You did talk to him about it at the planning community relations committee, so I think it would be appropriate just to follow up on that inquiry that you made and see if you looked at it and
right. We're in the budgeting process and it came up. But
right. I think that's
fair and an honest question to be asked.
Yeah.
Can't we make some headway on this?
Mm-hmm.
you?
I'll be happy to do it.
That's what I thought.
I will be happy to do it.
I can be at the table.
Perhaps maybe next week.
I owe you a beer.
Or eight.
It just freezes up in my presence. But I'd be happy to be there for it.
So, any other questions or concerns from members of council in regards to the budget?
I appreciate the hard work and, in a matter of a couple hours, you can understand generally what you guys are doing.
I would echo that as well, and the fact that general fund obviously with capital expenditures being what they are, but general fund revenues, being balanced plus some relative to and expenses only being up 2.3% or 0.6%. So in these times, those things aren't easy always to achieve.
I know you had this in an email, but just to refresh all of our memories. First reading will come.
The first meeting in November.
And then the second reading would be.
Second meeting in November.
And then the first meeting in December.
Big event, other than the bids for the downtown coming up this fall, is our labor negotiations. It's a 3-year contract settlement. And because of the high inflation during COVID, we are behind. We're looking at some fairly healthy numbers. But I think we have a good negotiating team in place. You'll hear rumors. If you've got questions, call Joe, call Leslie, call me. But please don't do what John Billis did to me 20 years ago and say, lean into my car window and said, here's what you should do. No, let us negotiate and we'll bring it back to you. And he didn't even say, here's what you should do. Here's what you're going to do, is what he did to me. We didn't do that.
So I think it's,
in other words,
and he lost.
You're not part of the negotiation. You don't want to be. If we negotiate with all city council, we're doomed.
So at this point, if there's no other questions, I'd be open to entertaining a motion from a member of the finance committee to advance the budget to full council for consideration in the first meeting in November. Toby, is that what your first meeting in November?
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Westfall, second by Mr. Hanum. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Anything else needs to come before the Finance Committee this evening?
You know, you said there were no changes in the debt service policy. Is that correct?
Correct.
And have you had a chance to read those contracts? I have not.
No, I have not.
We got those what? 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, November 21. Okay. Nothing's changed. I think we looked at those pretty hard. Then we never doesn't mean we shouldn't look them again.
But as long as you take a look at it, and I
took a quick spin through it and didn't, not in depth, but I went back and looked at it and made sure it said what I remembered.
Any other matters to come before Finance Committee? If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. It is 7:05 p.m. Thank you very much, everybody.